All right, well, we'll be in Psalm 101:2 this evening. So it should be on your ministry guide, or you can turn there in your Bible. Psalm 101 and verse 2. And it reads, "I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this evening, and thank you for the opportunity to consider your word. I pray that you would help me as I speak, Father, and help us as we listen, and that you would speak to our hearts this evening by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever been separated from someone that was very dear to you? And you miss them. You tried to keep yourself busy, but no matter how distracted you tried to be, your mind kept wandering back to the day that you would see them again. And as that day approached, you thought about maybe what you'd say to them. Perhaps you'd put it in a card, or purchase a nice bouquet, or buy some chocolates, or some other gift to express your affection for that person. You planned, you thought, and you carried it out. How can I show this person how much they mean to me? What do they like? How can I get that for them? In Psalm 101, we have the plans and resolutions of King David to express his love for God. So this psalm is just a series of, I will do this, I will do that. But behind all of that, there's one question in the psalm, and that actually is in verse 2. Oh, when will you come to me? And so I think the main idea of this psalm and of this verse is that the righteous resolve, the longing of love for God leads to righteous resolution to live for God. The longing of love for God leads to righteous resolution to live for God. So, just two observations tonight. The longing of love, seen in that phrase, oh, when will you come to me? And, secondly, righteous resolution. And that's seen in pondering the way that is blameless and walking with integrity of heart within my house. So as I said, there's only one question in this psalm, and it's, when will you come to me? And David started the psalm with some resolves, and then he's interrupted with this question. So let's ponder this question for a minute. When will you come to me? What's behind this question is, David wants to be close to God. He wants God to be close to him. Maybe some of you remember the old hymn that goes, "Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, 'tis my plea." Or there's a, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died." David is wanting to be close with God. And I wonder, is this your heart's cry tonight? Do you want a closer walk with Jesus? Do you long to be nearer to him? Do you love God? God created us to be in close fellowship with him, but something disastrous happened, we read about in Genesis 3, in the fall. And in the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, that close fellowship that they had with God, that humanity was meant to have with God, was broken. It was severed by their sinful rebellion against God. The fall alienated us from God. It put a vast, impassable chasm between us and God. And humans on this side of Eden are quite content to remain on their side of that chasm, enjoying their sin. They're quite content to have God at a distance. I wonder if you're there tonight. Are you content to have God at a distance? Maybe you've You've come to church and you're there for your family's sake, but God is kind of at a distance for you and you don't really give it much thought. Whenever we live this way, whenever we just live for our sin, whenever we are content to have God at a distance, you know, that's the essence of sin. It's idolatry. Whenever we are content, we choose to content ourselves with other things other than God. Whenever we seek pleasure from the things of this world instead of God himself. And a day of judgment is coming. If we go on in this way without repenting and turning from our sin, we will be judged. And we will be finally sentenced to eternal separation from God in hell. And that's the fate of all of us. All of us in our sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so how can David then, as a sinner, as one who has sinned against God and rebelled against God, how can he say, oh, when will you come to me? I mean, God is the judge. He has wrath against sin. He's a holy God. How can David say this to the God he's so infinitely offended? The reason David can say this is because God is not only a God of justice, but also of steadfast love. In the verse 1 of this psalm, David said he would sing of the steadfast love and justice to God. David asked in this question, oh Lord, when will you come to me? And I want to tell you, God has come to us. God has come to us as one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he lived that perfect life that we should have lived but have failed. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. And then he died on the cross for our sins, taking on the just penalty for all the wrong that we have done. God has come to us. Has God come to you? Do you know this Jesus that's come and that died on a cross and that rose from the dead? Jesus Christ came to reconcile God and man. And he does this whenever we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus, we are reconciled to God. And as Christians, our hope is that Jesus will come again. You know, after he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and he promised that he would come again. And this is our great hope, as it says in Titus 2:14, the eager expectation we ought to have at the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I wonder, how often as a Christian do you think ahead to that return of Christ, that second coming? How often do you say, oh, when will you come to me? Come, Lord Jesus. If you're not a Christian here tonight, I would exhort you to turn from your sin, to trust in Jesus. Turn from allegiance to self, surrender to Christ, receive the pardon that he offers, the pardon that's been bought by the blood of Christ on the cross. Receive his mercy. And believe that the life and death of Christ is sufficient to reconcile you to God. Rest completely in the finished work of Jesus for the salvation of sinners. Those who know God's love for them in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, cannot help but love God in return. And that leads us to our second observation, righteous resolution. While we wait for Jesus' return, let us resolve by his help, by the help of the Spirit of Christ, to live for Christ, to be holy and completely devoted to Christ. And this isn't any way to earn God's forgiveness and favor. Jesus already did that for us who believe. But having been so loved, let us love him in return. So look at the first part of verse 2. It says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. You know, some translations translate this, I will give heed to, or I will pay attention to the way that is perfect, the way of integrity. What David's doing here is he's pausing to examine his own life, his decisions, his relationships, what he's looking at. We see that in the rest of the psalm. Self-reflection. Do you ever pause and reflect upon your life? You know, turn off the phone, put it in the other room, and just have a few hours or a day or a season of reflection, of quiet consideration of your life. Prayerfully seeking to live in a way that's honoring to God. As I said earlier, it's fitting for us to, whenever we love someone, to express that love and even to put planning into that, to resolve, you know. So it takes a little planning oftentimes to express love for your wife. It's not always just spontaneous. So I'd encourage you husbands maybe in the room and wives too, consider how you can express love for your spouse. How can you... put some planning and thought into that. What is it that they appreciate? David resolved to walk with integrity of heart within his house. As it says in the last part of this verse, integrity of heart within his house. Integrity of heart means that David wants that part of him that only God can see to be all for God. He wants to be wholeheartedly living for God, even when nobody else is watching, no matter who is or is not watching him. So where can you start living for God? How about at home? God sees your faithfulness in the mundane. Even when others are not watching, he sees you as you're folding laundry and loading the dishwasher to the glory of God. So, fellow Christian, just remember that. And remember also that who you are in private is who you really are. Who you really are is revealed as you wrestle in the morning between your iPhone and your Bible. You know, which one is it going to be? Or your Android, or whatever other kind of phone you might have. How do you speak to your family members in the privacy of your own home? If the walls of your dorm room could speak, what would they say about who you live for? To the men of UBC, recall from the sermon this morning that elders of the church are to lead in godliness by their example. Remember Christ, that there were no tasks that were below Christ, not even foot washing. So, do you view certain things around the house even as below you? Or, you know, well, I can't do that. You know, I've got more important things to do. Sweep the floor. Do the laundry. Start at home serving your wife and family. Singles, what about your roommates? Do you have roommates? Do you have ways in which you can serve them? Maybe there are things around the apartment that just aren't getting done. Volunteer for the glory of God to serve your roommates. And also, just remember that we do this in the corporate gathering. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are meant to encourage one another and help one another in pondering the way that is blameless. God saves us as individuals, but he saves us into a community. And we can help each other walk with integrity. And that's what we do each time we meet together, when we sing to God and remind ourselves and each other of God's truth. And it's what we do when we listen to the preaching of the word and when we preach the word. And even after this meeting lets out and we gather together and talk about hopefully our week and how can we be praying for each other. How can we help one another to walk in the way that is blameless? But in all of this, we must remember that we need not only each other's help, we need God's help. In David's cry for God to come to him, I think there's also a bit of desperation. He realizes his own weakness and inability. to live in a godly life, and we will fall. That's when we have to look back to the cross. Not only though do we need God to come to us to forgive us of our sins, we need him every day. We need him for justification, and we need him for sanctification. His Spirit has come to help us make progress in righteousness this side of heaven. So let us encourage one another, but also not forgetting to pray, oh Lord, come to us. Come to us this evening. Come to us this morning. So in conclusion, the longing of love for God leads us to righteous resolution to live for God. Do you love God? What's your plan this week? What do you resolve to do? By God's grace, by his help.